Some want to take us back to the Garden of Eden today. We'll go there in the millennium. But first, insight into today's news media you won't hear elsewhere.
You have to be willing to embrace change. You can't be fearful of it. You can't run away from it. You can't hide from it.
You can no longer assume that people are coming to you. You have to go out and get them.
News organizations have to be prepared that their homepages are less important. People are using, they're using Facebook as a homepage. They're using Twitter as their own homepage. Those news streams are their portals into the world of information.
A famous study of American journalists was conducted in 1986, titled The Media Elite. It found that most journalists at national news outlets were Democrat rather than Republican, and were more liberal than the general public on numerous issues, including gay rights, abortion, etc., etc. Because liberals dominate these newsrooms, the organization's coverage reflects their staff's liberal political attitudes, since they assume that their views are correct and not even think they're biased at all.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Coming up this hour, Jan and co-host Eric Barger meet with the founder of WorldNet Daily, Joseph Ferra. Joseph's here to discuss the news industry and how it's changed since he began his journalism career. Then our panel will review Joseph's latest publication, The Restitution of All Things. You don't want to miss this conversation with Joseph Ferra. Here now, Jan Markell and Eric Barger.
Is the knowledge that the newspaper industry today is in big trouble. Papers have been closing and downsizing for years, and that affects all of us. Even if you only get your news from Facebook, Google, Twitter, are often just repackaging the work of newspapers, and it is not just websites. Watch how often TV news ends up citing print sources.
According to the Chicago Tribune.
According to the Detroit Free Press.
According to the San Francisco Chronicle.
According to the Times-Picayune.
The Boston Globe.
The Orlando Sentinel.
The Philadelphia Inquirer.
The Pittsburgh Tribune Review.
The Detroit News.
And the Houston Chronicle reports.
The Los Angeles Times reports. The Oklahoman reports.
The Hartford Current reports. The Salt Lake Tribune reports.
And welcome to the program. We look at news, views, truths from a decidedly biblical perspective. And we're going to hit on, well, several issues in the coming hour. My guest is a journalist, author, and commentator, Joseph Ferra. He is a pioneer in online journalism, having founded WND.com or WorldNetDaily.com over 20 years ago. His daily column has cutting-edge insight into the issues of the day. And Joseph comes from an Arab background, but he loves Israel and the Jewish people, which is why I know a lot of my listeners appreciate what he's doing and what he's done, not just for journalism, but for a lot of other issues and causes as well. And I want to talk about the news business, but I'm also going to be addressing his newest book, The Restitution of All Things, Israel, Christians, and the End of the Age. And it's a book about the millennium and a lot of other topics. Eric Barger joins me today. Thank you for coming in studio today, Eric.
My pleasure, Jan. I've been looking forward to hearing what Joseph has to say about what's happening in the news these days.
Joseph Ferra, welcome back to Understanding the Times Radio.
Great to be with you, Jan.
Joseph, 20 years online journalism. For you, you've been in journalism a lot longer than that, but WorldNet Daily, WND, started back in 1997. I think your career goes back 42 years. How has internet journalism changed in more recent years?
You're absolutely right, Jen. I actually have more experience in what we call, you know, quote-unquote, the mainstream media.
I know.
Than I do in online journalism, which we started 20 years ago. Yeah. We were the first. Look, I was attracted to journalism because I grew up in the era of the Watergate investigation. As you know, Jan, I was kind of pretty typical of the people who were attracted to journalism in that period. And what we all had in common, when journalism, by the way, when I got started, was the most popular career for people who saw themselves as, you know, social warriors.
Yep, progressives.
People who wanted, we wanted to change the culture. We wanted to change the paradigm. And that's where I was coming from through college and my early career in the news business. And, you know, for every job in journalism in that period, because of Watergate and the glorification mm-hmm. of Watergate and, you know, the celebrity of Woodward and Bernstein for every job opening there was in those days, there were like 300 or more people competing for it. And it was so exciting to me back then. It really was. Continues to be exciting today.
Sure.
For me. I'll get to that in a minute. But I just wanted to lay the background because it was in that era when I entered journalism in the late 1970s, the industry was taken over by political activists. I saw it happen. You know, this also coincides with my conversion to Christianity, yes. My accepting yes. the Lord as my personal Savior, and my views start to change. You know, it doesn't happen all at once. It takes a while to apply your Christian worldview to the things that you do in your life. And so that was a very interesting period for me and for the industry. And so as my views started to change, as I start to apply my Christian worldview, I start to see a lot of error around me. And I start to see a lot of people who aren't really committed to telling the truth, something so simple, but rather justifying their own views, okay, of reality. That's what I started to see. I still thrived in that environment, which is interesting. A lot of people say, well, what was it like being a Christian? You know, in that industry that's so highly secular, that's so contemptuous of Christian values and so forth. And when I tell people, Jen, it's sort of unbelievable even today as I look back, because I saw things that other people didn't see, it actually benefited my career. And my career was fabulous, you know, by the world standards, because, I mean, I got to run major daily newspapers and major markets and things like that at a very young age. At 27, I was running one of the biggest newsrooms in America, in Los Angeles. So it's funny how the Lord worked. But the way the Lord was working was he was preparing me for something I could not have foreseen with my own eyes and my own senses. He was preparing me for this, what we've been doing for the last 20 years.
Yes. I think you feel that there's even some more changes up ahead, and I want to head there in a minute because some strange things seem to be going on, for instance, at Fox News. Possible that even a new network could be forming as we're speaking. I don't think we know at this point. But let me go back to something here that you wrote this. I'm quoting you here, and you say 42 years ago when I started in the news business, I thought I had died and gone to heaven. There was nothing more exciting I could do than what I was doing. I wouldn't have traded jobs with anyone. It was fun, exhilarating. Now, 2017, you say, I'm not so sure anymore. Don't get me wrong. And I get some satisfaction out in the role I have as a pioneer. For me, the problem is reading the news. And then you say, it is deeply disturbing. You say, it is a freak show. It sometimes turns my stomach. Now, Joseph and Eric, this is where my audience is coming from, because they don't want to unplug. They don't want to drop out. They don't want to tune out. They don't want to disengage. But like you, because all those things have dreadful consequences, like being uninformed. But like you, they're looking at a freak show in our world today. And beyond that, they're looking at lost souls that are so lost in their transgenderism, you name it, the bizarre things going on today. And we know we can't drop out. I mean, how do you encourage people not to drop out?
Boy, that's a very provocative question, Jan. And I would say this, that, you know, if you're getting your news from some very questionable sources, like, and I would include CNN among them. I don't sit in front of the TV and watch CNN anymore. Okay, I don't do that. There was a time when that might have been my go-to place to get to find out what was going on in the world. It's just not the place we should go any longer, because it doesn't have any relationship to reality. And occasionally I see CNN for a little while every day when I go to my bagel shop and they have it on.
You're forced to watch it.
Eavesdrop for a few minutes. And what I see them, you know, focusing their attention on is so out of proportion with reality, I'm taken aback. It staggers me. And, you know, we can just point to one specific example right now. Their total infatuation with this Russian collusion thing, for which there is not a shred of evidence that anything happened. But yet it totally preoccupies CNN. And we can point to other examples. The New York Times has, you know, very strong bias in that direction. They'll do anything to get to the bottom of a scandal that doesn't exist. So that's when I'm talking about the freak show, that's what I'm talking about. Okay. Because, you know, 40 years ago, we still had some standards in the news business. We really did. They didn't always apply. Mistakes were made and so forth. But yet there were some reality checks built in to the newsroom culture that occasionally worked. It's just not the case anymore. I'll be honest with you. Not in the most sophisticated, elite newsrooms in America is that still in play.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I'm on the line from Washington, Joseph Farah, editor, WND.com. I know many of you check that site on a weekly and probably a daily basis. Eric Barger is my co-host today. Eric, you wanted to weigh in on this, please. And by the way, Eric, some of the emails you get, I suspect, substantiate what Joseph and I are talking about. Look, we're just heartbroken at the stories we have to locate. Literally heartbroken.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. The veil has been taken off of the media that we now see how left-wing most of the media is in there. And it's really just they cannot fathom the fact that the election didn't go the way it did when they did such a what they thought was a great job at promoting the other candidates. So that's just part of that. But I want to go back to what you said about unplugging, Jan, because I've been I talk about this stuff and it comes up in just natural conversation. It's also in many messages that I've put together, and it just has a natural way of getting in the messages because it's part of my heart. We can't unplug for the sake of the lost around us. Yeah. We need to understand. And as much as I don't want to watch some of the other channels that are out there, and as often as I bark at the conservative news when it's kind of more like moderate, I know that I need to be aware and involved and plugged in so that I can then dialogue, because oftentimes those conversations we have with friends and loved ones lead directly back to something we can say about scripture and about something that's important for eternity. So, you know, there are lots of reasons to stay plugged in, and I encourage folks, if you think it's just tune out, it's too much for you, I don't want to hear it, I only want to hear somebody that affirms my viewpoint, I think we need to be jolted on a regular basis about what the world around us is accepting, because it proves that prophecy is marching on too.
Joseph, transitioning just a little bit here, and you stated in a column, you said 8 years ago, I predicted in writing that Fox News, by far the most successful news organization in America, highest ratings, biggest profit margin, would soon abandon everything that helped it achieve those milestones. You said, I explained that the formula it used was devised and executed by two men, neither of them believers, who would not be around much longer, Rupert Murdoch and Roger Ailes. You go on to state that the Murdoch sons, as we all know now, are in charge, and they're virtually, I believe I might be quoting you by saying they're virtually dismantling Fox News. You say Fox News is soon going to be a clone of CNN. Can you elaborate a little bit here?
Yes, I'm glad you dug up that piece, Jan, because that was a long time coming. When I first started talking about this, you know, some 8 years ago, people were in disbelief. And I'm talking about just, you know, your average ordinary guy walking on the street. When I was talking about this in front of some very sophisticated Christian conservative audiences, and I told them what was happening, they were shocked, or they frankly didn't even believe what I was saying. But, you know, having been in the news business for a long time, I understand that the culture of a newsroom is either dictated from on top, which was the case at Fox News when Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch were calling the shots, or they're dictated from the newsroom culture. In fact, that's where most news organizations develop the culture. It's from the newsroom on up, and the people at the top don't get involved. Fox was unusual in that circumstance because Murdoch cared about profits, and he knew there was an untapped audience out there of people who, you know, just frankly didn't share the values of the newsroom culture. And he targeted it, and he hired Roger Ailes to do it because Roger Ailes understood that very well and was kind of a great architect. So together they built something extraordinary. Now, it never had any kind of a Christian perspective, worldview behind it. What their marketing message was very simple. We report, you decide. It had an amazing appeal for people because they didn't want to be dictated to. Give us the news, we'll make up our own mind. Mm. That was the theory, and it was executed to perfection. So much so, people don't understand just how dramatic this was. Not only, you know, we all know Fox News was the number one cable network. Everyone knows that. What they don't know is that it was so profitable. The profits were better than ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, and a host of others combined.
Really?
That's how successful
it was. Didn't know that.
Yeah, it's staggering to think about it. Now, knowing the folks involved, as I do and did, I knew that Ailes and Murdoch had one thing in common. They were very old. And they either had to retire or die or move on and name successors. Well, Ailes is gone now. He died after being let go by Fox News. Murdoch is sort of still around, but he's appointed his children to take over the network.
They're very liberal.
What I did 8 years ago is I researched these people and the kids, and I saw what they were saying. They were saying they were embarrassed to be associated with Fox News, and essentially they wanted it to be more like CNN. Mm. That was the message 8 years ago. And I said, well, then this experiment that has been so successful economically for Fox News is over. It's just a matter of time before they become just like CNN, which, you know, frankly, is a shadow of what it was 8 years ago.
Yeah. You had a headline recently. I'm talking to Joseph Farah, WorldNet Daily, WND.com. You had a headline recently, the rumor of Hannity O'Reilly TV venture suggesting that possibly Hannity O'Reilly could even start, I don't know about a new network, probably sign on to an existing network. Any truth to that at all?
More of an O'Reilly fantasy, quite obviously. I think that O'Reilly wants a new job. He wants to be paid a lot, and he wants to build himself up as very meaningful for any other news organization to hire, and he brings along a huge audience with him. And on top of that, I can pull Hannity in here and other people. I think that's basically what we're looking at there. Hannity's got a contract with Fox. I don't think he's talking to anybody else in violation of his contract. And he's a friend of mine, and I would never think that he would do that. But are Hannity's days numbered at Fox News? That's a better question.
Okay.
And I think without a question, he's the canary in the coal mine.
Okay.
And when you see Hannity's contract not renewed, and I don't know when that is, you will know that what I'm telling you today and what I told you 8 years ago is coming true. By the way, there's still some great shows at Fox.
Yeah, there are, absolutely.
There really are.
Yeah, but you rightly state, Joseph, you say there's a crisis in the media today that will have a profound impact on the direction of the country and the world for decades to come. You need to know about it. Let me bring it home to you with just one microcosmic example. It can best be understood by looking at the very predictable coming transformation of Fox News. And I think, Joseph, my listeners and the viewers of Fox News need to keep your words of warning in mind.
I want to know what we do if Fox News does implode that way. Will there be a conservative alternative that will rise up? I think so, because there are conservatives out there that will need it.
And we will. We'll get Joseph's answer to your question in my next segment. And we're also heading into discussing Joseph's newest book, and it's titled The Restitution of All Things, Israel, Christians, and the End of the Age. So we'll spend some time on that. We'll get to Eric's question. And folks, if you do write and particularly send a gift, would you always tell us what station you're listening to? I'm coming back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
Still ahead in our next segment of Understanding the Times, Jan and Eric will be talking with Joseph Farah about his new book, The Restitution of All Things. You'll be greatly encouraged, so please stay with us. Our next Understanding the Times conference is rapidly approaching. You should plan to join us on October 7. Please visit our website, olivetreeviews.org, for all the details on our fall event. Again, click on olivetreeviews.org. We're already coming to the end of summer. As you know, June, July, and August are the hardest months to keep a budget on track. We would greatly appreciate it if you remember us in your charitable giving this summer. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. You can also give safely and securely online at olivetreeviews.org. To order your own audio copy of today's broadcast, just phone 763-559-4444. Jen and Eric return in just a minute with more from WND founder Joseph Farah. We're now just weeks away from Understanding the Times 2017, Saturday, October 7, Eden Prairie, Minnesota, just outside of Minneapolis. There is no registration needed, and there is no conference fee to attend. Consider joining thousands from across America for this annual event of like-minded believers as we focus on current events and anticipate what the Bible calls our blessed hope. Speakers include Amir Sarfati.
Everything is different, and it's amazing because the world is on the brink of something big. And I'm not saying that. You watch your news, you read your newspapers, and you'll see it yourself.
Dr. Mark Hitchcock.
And God has also set forth for us some of the signs or the things we can look for as we approach the end times. And the Bible tells us that there are discernible signs of the times that are going to portend the Lord's coming.
Pastor J.D. Farag.
By the way, in chapters 1, 2, and 3, the word church is mentioned 19 times. And you don't find the word church mentioned again from chapter 4, verse 1 on through the rest of the book.
And Michelle Bachman.
We are in your face with jihad. We are in your face in that we are going to conquer you, and our values will prevail, Islamic values, not your values. That's what we need to understand. They are literally at war against the West.
Be sure to make hotel reservations soon as they fill up early. We're looking forward to meeting you Saturday, October 7, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Grace Church, Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Call us for more details, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444, or just visit the conference page at our website, olivetreeviews.org. See you on October 7. We live in unprecedented times, and we'll help you understand them. This is Understanding the Times Radio, the fusion of current events and biblical insights. Every week we bring you the best voices who discern our times according to the Bible. Join us every weekend on this station for an experience with truth that will enlighten your day.
Because I realized all the prophets were talking about one thing. That's affirmed by Peter in Acts 3. And what they're talking about is the kingdom on earth. It's about him setting up an actual kingdom on earth. And I asked myself, how many Christians understand that there's going to be an actual kingdom ruled by God on earth? And why aren't they curious about it? Why aren't their sermons published about this?
As the internet was in its infancy, Joseph Farah founded WorldNet Daily 20 years ago. WND began with the intent of exposing wrongdoing, corruption, and abuses of power. Two decades later, the organization has expanded into publishing and movie production. This hour, Jan Markell and Eric Barger are reviewing with Joseph Farah his latest book, The Restitution of All Things. We know you'll find the next two segments encouraging. Once again, Jan Markell.
Almost everyone knows the lyrics to Isaac Watts' famous hymn, Joy to the World. But few people realize that it is really a miscast hymn. It's not a Christmas hymn, really, at all, even though it's in the top three of the favorite Christmas hymns of all time. Listen to the words and see if you understand what I mean. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Did we receive the King when Jesus was born at Bethlehem? Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessing flow, far as the curse is found. Has that happened? Did it happen? He rules the world with truth and grace. I don't think so. Not yet. And makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. Only during the millennium, which comes after the second advent of Christ, will the words of joy to the world really be fulfilled. Only during that time we'll be able to sing these words with real meaning in our heart.
And welcome back, and that should indicate we're going to transition into a different topic. But first, before we do that, Eric asked Joseph a question in our last segment. Eric, why don't you repeat the question and let's give him time to answer here.
Well, as we see Fox News becoming more moderate, and that is, i.e. liberal, and probably seeing the conservatives, though they still hold a place in their evening lineup, being marginalized, will there be, and I think there will be, but what's going to happen? And are there other conservative sources being raised up right now? Will there be a Fox News replacement that will be truly conservative in a way maybe Fox News never has been? What's your view?
Well, you know, as a newsman, I've always been kind of actually turned off that anyone would set out to do conservative news. I mean, I think when you're in the news business, what you want to do is focus on the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Period. You know what I'm saying? The opinion side of it shouldn't get too involved. All news organizations offer opinion, of course. Nothing wrong with that. But, you know, when you're reporting the news, you're supposed to report the truth, the best, most accurate accounts of what's happening. And that's what I think we should do. That's our mission as journalists. So the idea that we would start news organizations as conservative news organizations, I think, is a mistake. By the way, WND has never labeled itself that way. Okay. Other folks have.
Yes, indeed.
Not once have we ever said this is a conservative news site. Because, you know, even if it were, do you know of any liberal organizations that identify themselves as the liberal New York Times or the liberal CNN? Of course not. You have to label yourself that way. There's something wrong. Second thing I would say is, yes, I believe there are some organizations positioning right now to try to fill this vacuum that is about to be created by the implosion of Fox News's mission. And frankly, that's what it was. And, you know, I can tell you a few of the names. It's not any state secret. There's a big media conglomerate called Sinclair Broadcasting, which has been around for a long time, but they've been growing like crazy and, you know, gobbling up stations in virtually every market in the United States. And I believe, and I don't have any, you know, real inside information there, they are positioning themselves to fill that void. There's another one I'm more familiar with, newer organization called One America News Network, which has also been gobbling up lots of affiliates on cable networks across the country. And they do an outstanding job. It's more of a headline news kind of presentation, but that they've got a Christian worldview,
okay.
And it's quite good, quite impressive if you get a chance to see it. And there will be others, no doubt. And you know what? WND will be around,
sure.
Hopefully for another 20 or 40 years or what have you. And just what folks need to do is just be discerning about where they get their news from. If we do that, this will work itself out just like, you know, people make free market choices, and that's the way the free market works, and usually it's all for the best.
I've said for years that the 30 minutes the big three had that really dominated before CNN came along, they scripted the news then, they still script it today to tell us just what they want, the way they want it. That's been the way it's been, but now with the 24/7 news cycle, they're dying to figure out what news spin they can put on a story they've been talking about now for the last day or the last month or whatever it is.
Right. What you're saying is so important, especially for younger people who don't remember when there were three
Walter Cronkite networks. Days.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, you know, every market had a newspaper where you got your news once a day. The media world bears no resemblance to that any longer. We remember it, but, you know, our kids don't. And so this is the world they're born into, where things are happening and news is breaking every 15 seconds. And a question you have to ask yourself is that really news that I was just told about? Because, well, you know, significant things don't always happen every 15 seconds.
Well, I want to transition here just because time mysteriously gets away from us in these interviews. But I want to transition a bit. Actually, we're going to talk a little bit about theology. But Joseph Farah, you're not a theologian. You're a newsman. And you have come up with a book, which I've been fascinated by. I've actually read it twice, because once I read it for pleasure. Well, second time I read it to pull out talking points, quite honestly. The restitution of all things, Israel, Christians, and the end of the age. Obviously, a ministry like Olive Tree Ministries has a built-in interest in Israel, Christians, and the end of the age. You are focusing on a lot of things, and to suggest that this is only a book about the millennium would be extremely unfair because you're covering a lot of topics. Let me just quote you here from your book, and you say, the millennial kingdom to come is the world's destiny, the great hope for those who find salvation through the atonement of their sins and the sacrifice of Jesus, the Messiah of Israel and the Son of God. Then you say, and appropriately you say, how much thought do believers give to this time, this destiny, in their prayers, their Bible studies, their teachings, their sermons, and their witness to others? From my experience, very little. By the way, I back you up there. Then you say, we hear a lot about heaven as our destiny, but was man made for heaven or earth? And then you say you can find many opinions on this subject, but such opinions and human traditions, as we have seen both in Jesus' day and in the so-called church age, have been dead wrong. The real question should be, what does Scripture tell us? Right now I'm looking at the millennium because just the interest of time. And, you know, scholars tell us that the most contested area of Scripture is the millennium because of all the different interpretation. Amillennialism, kingdom now, dominionism, postmillennialism. What prompted you to write a book titled The Restitution of All Things with the subtitle I gave?
Great question. And first, I just want to preface it by saying, while I am not a theologian, I have all throughout my media career, and you know this, Jan,
yeah,
I've been involved kind of just for fun, if you will, because I'm fascinated with it, is prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And early in my journalism career, I had an opportunity to meet Hal Lindsey and really get to know him and work with him for 10 years, basically sitting at his knee and collaborating on books and on TV shows and all kinds of things. It was a great opportunity that God gave me, and that was kind of the kickoff. I had read his book in the, you know, mid-1970s, The Late Great Planet Earth.
And same here.
It was a key to mm-hmm. my understanding the salvation message. And so therefore, it was, you know, just amazing. A few years later, I get to work with him for 10 years, and he's still a dear friend today. So my interest in that goes way, way back, this subject. So the millennium has fascinated me because of my interest in prophecy. And what Peter says in Acts 3 about what the prophets say, which was key. You know, when you read the Bible sometimes, you know, you get to a scripture and it just hits you in a way that never connected quite before. And it was a few years ago, reading in Acts 3, where Peter says, talking about Jesus, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And I wanted to know, I knew it had to be true because it's inspired word of God, but I wanted to see for myself, did all the holy prophets actually talk about the restitution of all things, which is the kingdom, of course?
Yes.
He's talking about the restoration of the world, okay, which hasn't happened yet. And that is our destiny in this millennial kingdom. And so I wanted to set out on an investigation. I studied prophecy in many different ways. And one of the things I always, you know, was kind of mystified by was the way prophecy watchers, and I'm not trying to diminish anybody now because I'm one of them, have so often focused on what's coming next. What's the next thing that's going to happen in the world to fulfill prophecy? And very seldom is much attention given to the ultimate answer, which is the restitution of all things, the kingdom. Jesus ruling and reigning from Jerusalem, not only over Israel, but over the entire world. And so I had this yearning to get a better understanding of that kingdom. That's where this started. And by the way, I remember we published a book before my book by Joel Richardson called When a Jew Rules the World.
Yeah.
And when he came to me with that title, I said, Joel, that's like the best title I've ever heard.
It is.
Because
it's
I wanted to understand that world. You know, when a Jew rules the world, that's Jesus. What's it going to be like? And so I read his book with, you know, excitement, and I enjoyed it very much. But I still was left with the feeling, I don't fully understand. I want to know more, and which made me dive into the scriptures with a big commitment to study this, to read older books that were published, you know, 100 years ago on this topic to see if anybody else had any insight. And that's where this investigation began. And what I found at the end of the day was Peter was right. Every single prophet talks about this period, this kingdom, this restoration of all things. And so I wanted to share what I learned with people. You're right. When I look around me today, not only do I not see prophecy people talking about the kingdom, I don't see pastors talking about it. I don't see many theologians talking about it. It's not a part of our, you know, Christian lexicon, if you will, today.
Well, you know,
and I think it should be.
There's some built-in problems. And folks, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line from Washington, Joseph Farah, because we're talking about a lot of things, quite frankly, including his newest book. Find it at WND.com. Go to the Superstore. It is an e-version as well as hard copy, The Restitution of All Things, Israel, Christians, and the End of the Age. There might be some things in there you disagree with, that at least it'll cause you to think. I found it to be informative. I read it 2 times because I read it first time for information and for just interest. And then I went through it again to get some talking points here. Eric, before our segment gets away, you want to weigh in here because we're running out of time in segment 2.
I just wanted to say, you know, that it's part of our it's built in our DNA to want things to be better. Everybody sees the world is upside down, and that's why the millennium is so important, because things change. The king is here. We are here in glorified bodies. All the stuff for Christians is wonderful, but people want, they have hope that there can be something different. This is partly why I believe the world acquiesces to Antichrist, and why they want to look to themselves, their inner God force and so on during his deceptions. But that's the whole thing to me about the millennium, is that people want something to be better because they see how things are out of whack around us. That's maybe the best way I can put it.
Well, that's how we opened the program, talking about how things are out of whack. That's why I like transitioning into a time when things are going to be perfect. But Joseph, here's the issue. A lot of denominations, a lot of churches, they don't want to take this topic literally. They want to allegorize it. They want to say, well, the millennium began at the cross. That's when Christ defeated Satan. I have a soundbite here of a pastor saying, this is the most debated topic in the pulpit. I'm sure it's true.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I'm sure it's debated. Every part of the Bible.
Yeah, every part is.
You know,
yeah.
If you turn to the theologian, which I'm not, to tell you what is true in the Bible and what is not, you know, then you don't simply believe that what the Bible says is true. I start with the premise that what's in the Bible is absolutely true. There's no equivocation. And, you know, if you don't believe that, my book is not for you. Period. End of story. But I go to the Bible every single day to learn something about truth. It's the ultimate test of truth. It's the ultimate test of what is right and what is wrong. And if we deviate from that, then who's going to tell us what's true and what's right and what's wrong? I don't think it's possible.
What I think is interesting, and you bring this out, and we can actually discuss this a little bit more when we get into our third segment here, but bring out such an important fact, the feasts of the Lord. Look, if you don't go up to Jerusalem and celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles during the millennium, you don't get rain.
And that raises questions for me, which I present in the book. If it were important in the first century and before, and if it's important enough to be part of the kingdom that Jesus is ruling over, then the question that should come to any Christian is, was Jesus' intent to start a new religion? And my answer to that is no, not really. What Jesus came to do was to save the world. He came as the Messiah to the Jews and to the rest of the nations as well, to enlighten the whole world as to the truth. And that's why he came. And he's the Messiah to the Jews, and he's our Messiah. We're grafted into the promises of the nation of Israel, as Paul explains. And so that's the good news. That's what the gospel is all about. And the gospel is about the fulfillment of all of this in the kingdom. And if you don't believe in the kingdom, you don't really believe in the gospel. All of the prophets since creation, that's what Peter says. And I put this to the test in this book, and it's absolutely true. You can go to every prophecy book, and not just the prophet, but also, you know, Moses is a prophet, so we have to use the Torah as the test. And in every single one of those books, the restoration of all things, the Garden of Eden type of restoration that takes place at the end of the age, this is part of the gospel story. Jesus talked about the kingdom more than anything else.
Okay. Well, let's,
in all four gospels.
We're not quite through unpacking some of this before our time gets away from us. But again, Joseph, we got to pick this up here at the other side of a break, but I get so irked with, we've got environmental outfits that are going to take us back to Eden right now because we're going to get our environment perfect, and then we're going to have Eden. And that is so insane. It's absolutely insane. When we, in fact, have Eden awaiting us, it's the thousand-year millennial kingdom. Not before that, folks. Not before that. Say, I'm coming back in just a minute or two. We're going to wrap this up with Joseph Farah, WND.com. Find the book in his superstore at WND.com, The Restitution of All Things. Back in just a couple of minutes.
Understanding the Times Radio continues, but first, a couple of reminders. To order a compact disc recording of today's broadcast, just give Olive Tree Ministries a call, 763-559-4444. And remember, all our new programming is posted to our website, olivetreeviews.org, every weekend. Every week, Jan Markell and her media team put together timely, current, and biblically-based programming. Our mission is to encourage Christ's followers everywhere that regardless of how things appear, God has things under control. We invite you to visit our website at olivetreeviews.org. You'll find many resources to encourage and inform you regarding the days in which we live. We're so grateful to all of you who've been very faithful in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial gifts. We always need more listeners to get financially behind what we do to keep us on the air coast to coast, week after week. Will you join with others to help us stay financially healthy? Will you help us do what God has called us to do? Consider a tax-deductible gift today. You can write to us at Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Jan, Eric, and Joseph continue with our final segment. That's next, right after this.
Thanks to all of you who either pray or financially support this radio outreach. If you appreciate the inconvenient truth coming to your neighborhood, would you think about a one-time tax-deductible gift to Olive Tree Ministries? We have served the Christian community across North America and the world for 16 years. This ministry and radio outreach are committed to bringing you news and information you won't find many places. We are also committed to bringing you the good news that Jesus Christ is in charge of a decaying world, and he offers a lifeline of hope to everyone who calls on his name. You can give online at olivetreeviews.org, or you can call 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444, or drop us a note, Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. We have a message about today and tomorrow, because the King is coming back. We just want you to be ready and to know where you will spend eternity. And folks, this ministry has written a little end time study guide. Are we living in the last days? For your neighborhood group in your church interested in these topics, you can cover it in 12 weeks. It's got built-in questions in the study guide. Check it out in my store, olivetreeviews.org. It's in all of my newsletters, print and e-newsletters, or give my office a call. It's $9 for one copy. You can get 10 copies for $60. And those who have an interest in this topic, you can just have a 12-week study, and it's not detailed, it's not complicated.
You're listening to a radio program for people who want to keep aware of current events in light of the Bible. We are Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell.
Now for the conclusion of today's Understanding the Times conversation with Joseph Farah, here is Jan Markell.
If you look down in your Bibles, you will notice in verse 2 it says, he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, for a millennium. Verse 3, and the nations no more were deceived for 1,000 years, a millennium. Verse 4, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, a millennium. Verse 5, and the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years was finished. There it is again. Verse 6, over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him a millennium, 1,000 years.
And welcome back. Say, do you think that 1,000 years is literal? I do. And I know there are listeners, there are entire denominations who would argue that no, it's not literal, but when the Bible is literal, I think we take it as literally as we can. That was Pastor David Jeremiah in one of his sermon series on end times. Remember, this program is posted to my website Saturday morning. We air on well over 800 radio stations, but if you can't get near one, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org would have it new every Saturday morning. You can become a CD subscriber. Call us on that. Get a CD of every program. We have hundreds and hundreds of you who do that. And I want to wrap up my interview with Joseph Farah, who's editor and founder of WND, WorldNet Daily, WND.com. And we've been talking about a lot of things, including the news industry and how that's changed over 20 years. It's changed over, I mean, if you go back even 30 years, 35 years, even 40 years, it's just astounding changes. A lot of it because of the electronic world. So many people now are plugged into electronics, have turned off television and radio, and are just focusing on what they can access online. We've also been talking about his newest book titled The Restitution of All Things, Israel, Christians, and the End of the Age, WND.com. It is in e-version if you don't want to look into the hard copy version. Joseph, I want to quote you here. It's from your book. And, you know, we're in late summer now, and we've been watching Jerusalem be in turmoil this summer, particularly the Temple Mount. And you write, you say, notice how Israel and Jerusalem-centric the imagery is. Jesus doesn't come back to be president of the United States. He doesn't come back to be the Secretary General of the United Nations. He doesn't come to rule the European Union or sit in the Vatican. He comes to rule and reign in Jerusalem as the King of the Jews, but he will also rule over the entire world from there. Why is God so Israel-centric? You wrote that, Joseph. You answer that question.
Well, he tells us in his word that the Israeli people have a very special mission. They were chosen. We say they were chosen. What were they chosen to do? They were chosen to carry the scriptures to the whole world. That's their number one, and the knowledge of the one, you know, true God of the universe. That was their mission. They were to be a light to the Gentiles, meaning all the other nations. The question is, have they succeeded? And, you know, they've had some shortcomings along the way, which has caused them to be judged at various times in their history by God. But you know what? There are people all over the world that, because of that mission, now know who the true Messiah is, now know who the God of the universe is. We owe that to God and to Israel, because to some extent or another, they carried out the mission. And so the neat thing is that when we study the scriptures and we look at this kingdom that we're talking about, is just what you read there. We're headed into a very Israel-centric world.
Absolutely.
One of my concerns when I was writing this book was, wow, I don't think many Christians fully understand this. I don't think they're looking at those prophetic passages of what the kingdom is about and understanding it. Yet they're excited about what their destiny is, but they don't really fully understand it. And that reminded me of the first time that Yeshua Jesus came. There were a lot of people in Israel who weren't expecting the Messiah to look like this, to act like this, to be so meek. And they were more like expecting a conqueror who was going to free them from
Rome.
That's
right.
I think it's dangerous when we don't fully understand what's being revealed to us in Scripture very clearly, I think, about what the future is going to be like. Because people, they had the Scriptures back in Israel, yet they didn't recognize their Messiah. And it makes me think, well, wait a minute. There's so many Christians who don't understand what we're headed to in the next world. Aren't we like in the same boat as some of the, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees who really weren't anticipating an accurate picture of the Messiah. We think we know Jesus, but do we really know the Jesus of the Bible, or do we see him through this, you know, some kind of a caricature image that's been portrayed to us by our own traditions? That's one of the other things I try to tackle this book.
You do. We could be suggesting here that the millennium and the last days is just all about the Jews. Not necessarily. I mean, the millennial temple, both Jews and Gentiles worshiping together in the millennial temple.
Absolutely. And you know, there's so many blessings illuminated in the prophecies about other nations.
Yes.
I mean, one of the most beautiful passages in the whole Bible to me, especially as, you know, an Arab American who, you know, we get a bad rap sometimes and deserve it sometimes. But, you know, I read Isaiah 19 and I see the blessing that is poured out on Egypt and Assyria. Equal blessings, by the way, with Israel. It's a beautiful passage. And, you know, these are things that the church doesn't understand. The church doesn't know. You know, the whole plan of God is laid out through these prophecies, and yet we're not paying that much attention to them for some reason.
Exactly.
And that's
exactly
why I get excited about it.
Yeah, and that passage, I believe, is a millennial reference where Egypt is honored.
If we're going to ignore prophecy, we're certainly not going to dive into what we just talked about. I mean, and that's the problem is that, you know, we teach a lot on particular things in the church. I'm talking good churches too, but even the best churches out there very rarely go down the path we're talking about. And thus we have a kind of almost a fantasy view of eternity. And of course, a millennium leading up to eternity.
Joseph, you state in your book, you state the kind of a dilemma here. And I share this dilemma with you, by the way. And that is, how do we get younger people to be enthused about this kind of a topic? And you ask if we are really longing for this period. You reflect on the younger people and their perspective and explain, which is, I deal with this all the time, their world is just beginning. They're planning for their future. They're not really wanting their future interrupted. They don't see the world in quite the sad state that the three of us do here. And they kind of look at these topics as robbing them of their future. And as a result, and Joseph, you travel to enough conferences where we talk about either end times or current events or both, you'll see the average age is probably about 60. And it's because of this thinking. And you outlined it here in your book very effectively. And yet you got a burden for these younger people.
Yes, well, you know, I'm father of five, grandfather of four. And I remember when our kids were younger and we would get to, you know, challenging prophetic scriptures, and I would, you know, start to wax eloquently because this was a topic I really knew inside and out, and I thought they'd be so excited by it. And I could see they weren't. And I started to probe beneath the surface to find out. And that's what it came down to. My life is just beginning and want to get married and have children and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And of course, you know, those are all wonderful things to want. And I said, well, honey, we don't know that this is going to happen tomorrow. We don't know that this is going to happen 20 years from now. And back then, you know, this was in many cases 20 years ago. And so they have seen those things come to reality for the most part with my family. You know, so prophecy can be scary sometimes. And that's also part of my concern when we only look at this brief period of 7 years and 3.5 years of it is, you know, worse than the other half. And, you know, that's not a very long period of time that the world goes through this tribulation. But we got 1,000 years after that.
That's right.
Of glory and paradise and the Garden of Eden. Why don't we dwell on that? Because that's something I think that young people will be happy about just as much as us old people.
You know, Jan, Joseph has taken part of a script from one of my messages almost word for word. Mm-hmm. And I tell young people, look, you may not want to hear any of this stuff I'm going to talk about when I talk about the coming of the Lord, about the rapture. But 1 second after the rapture, you won't care about any of the plans you had here on earth.
Yeah. That's a good reminder. Yeah.
It's all good news.
Well, that's followed by the new heavens and the new earth. That's a whole nother program. We can't go there. But there is good news ahead, folks. And again,
it's eternity.
Yeah, it's eternity. Right. We opened the program talking about how current news almost makes us physically ill to really, really examine what's going on in the world today. It can be so troubling. And that's why I wanted to end this hour as we focus on things of eternity, things of an eternal nature. You can learn more at WND.com, The Restitution of All Things, Israel, Christians, and the End of the Age. You can find it almost anywhere. It's a WorldNet Daily book, as is, by the way, Trapped in Hitler's Hell that Joseph published back in 2013. And hopefully Anita's story is going to live on, too, even in theaters as we're pushing ahead towards that. I want to go out of the program, and I am totally out of time. I'm going out of the program quoting from The Restitution of All Things. And Joseph and Eric, thank you for joining me this hour. And going out of the program saying this. It's from the book. We were not meant to love this world the way it is. It's easy to feel despair and anxiety living in times like these. God wants to give them and us a world free of hate, free of war, free of injustice, free of deception and lies, free of corruption, free of violence, free of robbery. We were not meant to love this world the way it is. No, folks, we're actually meant for some great times ahead if we would just look up and know that our redemption draws nigh. I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
We are a moment, you are forever, Lord of the ages, God before time. We are.
Thanks for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Across America and across the World Wide Web, we continue to report current events from a biblical perspective. Every week, this broadcast comes to you at no cost, but it costs us thousands of dollars. As we produce and distribute this program each weekend, would you consider becoming a partner with us? With an ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to keep informed. They need to be aware of current events as viewed through the lens of Scripture. Week after week, Jan Markell brings you a compelling hour of discussion to point out the dangers in today's culture and to bring hope through faith in Jesus Christ. Please consider joining us in this listener-supported ministry as our financial partner. Just write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. You can also give online at olivetreeviews.org. or when you phone 763-559-4444. 24 hours a day, global updates with a biblical worldview are available at olivetreeviews.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon, and we appreciate your continued prayer support for Jan and her team. Jan Markell returns next week with another program designed to help you understand the times.